This week we will be doing Yevamos, Daf Yud Aleph. We left off about 16 lines down, a little below the middle of the page, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, with a new topic. And as we know, in the opening mission of the Masechta, we discussed not only our arayos, usher to do Yibam and Chalitza if they fall to someone who they're in arayos to, but even their co-wife is pater from Yibam and Chalitza as well. So now we're going to discuss another case of a possible erva. Amar Yehuda Marav, Tzara Sota Asura. So, as Rashi points out, the case of a Sota here is someone that a woman committed adultery while she was married to her husband, and witnesses saw this, and so she's a Sota. And then, after this happened, her husband dies, and she falls to the husband's brother, along with another wife that her husband had. So, what Rav is saying is that not only is the Sota Asur, because as the Gemara says, Tumuksiv baka arayos, as the pasuk says, when it comes to sota, it says they call it v'nistara v'hi nitma. When she commits adultery, it's called nitma, and that same language is used by arayos when it says al tit amu b'kol ela, as Rashi points out, and therefore sota itself is equated to arayos, in that the word tuma is used by both, and therefore a sota would be also to do yibam on her deceased husband's brother, because she's like an arayos, and therefore her co-wife would also be usher, be pater from Yiman Chalitza, as she's a tzaras erva. Masiv Rav Chista. Rav Chista asked the following question. So the background here, Rashi tells us, is that a woman, husband goes overseas, and he's away on a business trip for a while, and people come and tell the wife, the husband has died overseas. So based on that information, testimony, she goes and gets remarried, and then, very sticky situation, her husband returns, and he wasn't really dead. So the Gemara over there says that she has to not be with either husband, not her old husband, not her new husband. Now what if both husbands die? So the Gemara over there says, according to the Tanna Kamma, that both the brother of her first husband and the brother of her second husband should both do chalitza on her. However, Reb Shimon says, and this is where the Gemara here is picking up on, Reb Shimon Omer, Biyasa o chalitzasa, Me'achiv shel rishon, poteres tzarasa, that if the brother of her first husband does yivim or chalitza, that will be fine, that will be good enough to pater the co-wife, because at the end of the day, as Rashi points out, she was really allowed to get married to the second guy, because she thought he was dead. So what do you see from this? You have a woman who was married to her first husband. That marriage was never severed. She was always married to him. She has bio with this second guy while she's still married, and yet we're saying that now if her first husband dies, the co-wife can do yibam with his brother? So don't you see that tzaras sota, the co-wife of a woman who has bia with a man while she's married, is mutter? So, but Rav said that tzaras sota is asura. So the Gemara is going to explain a very clear distinction here. So Amar lecha Rav, aminu lecha ana sota deoraisa, v'ata marli sota derabanan. I was discussing a case of a sota deoraisa. A sota deoraisa is a woman who commits adultery. She did something very bad. Full knowledge this was inappropriate, and she does it anyway. That's where we say she's like an erva, and the co-wife is pater just like the tzara of any erva. But what was this case of Reb Shimon? This is a case where the woman was relying on testimony that her husband had died and got remarried. She had no ill intention. It's only, as Rashi points out, there's a gzeira derabanan that she wait or do better due diligence to truly discover and have proof that her husband died. So therefore, if her husband comes back, we don't want her ever to be in this situation. So we make a knas on her, make a penalty. The penalty is that really she shouldn't have married this guy. So she's a sota derabanan. But we're not going to say that she's really like an erva. And we're not going to say her co-wife is like the co-wife of an erva, because at the end of the day, on a deraisa level, she had every right to rely on the testimony that her husband had died, and she was able to remarry. And therefore, that's the clear distinction between Rav saying tzara sota asura, and in this case, when she got remarried, we're saying the tzara of this woman, sota derabanan, can do yibam on the deceased deceased man's brother. So the Gemara asks, but the Karila my Karila. It seems like a very clear distinction. What was the Havamina? Why did I think these cases were similar? So the Gemara answers, Kesavar, Kolutikun Rabbanon, Kein Doraisa Tikun. We thought that there's a concept that when the Rabbanon make a gzera, when they make a decree, they tend to parallel it after the Din Doraisa. And therefore the Havamina was that just like by the Sota Doraisa, we say that Saras Sota, the co-wife of the Sota Doraisa, is Asura, maybe when the Rabbanon declared a woman a Sota Doraisa as a penalty, maybe they also took that din from Sota Doraisa of the co-wife being Asura as well. Now we conclude that that's not true, but at least to validate the Havamina, it was that we have a rule of Kol Tikun Rabbanon, Ke'en Doraisa Tikun, that when the Rabbanon makes zeros, they parallel them after the din Doraisas. So Masa Rashi has another Kashan Rav, Nichnasim Olosiseir, Vishasim Okdei Tumah. So now you have a case, this is Masechah Sota 101, where a husband is nervous, he's suspicious that his wife is being inappropriate with another man. So he does something called Kinoi, where he warns her, which he basically says, please don't have Yichud with so-and-so man. Then Stira is the case where she actually goes and has Yichud with him against her husband's wishes. And the Shasa Yimokide Tumah means not only did they have the Yichud, but they had the Yichud for long enough that they could have had Bia during that time. So that was what we call a Sota in the Torah. Not a Sota Doraisa, but what we call someone who we have Raglayim Ladavar, we have evidence to suspect, to be suspicious of the fact that she committed adultery. And such a woman, we say, Asur Lebesa, V'Asur Lechel Batruma. She's usher to her husband because she violated his word. Again, she's someone who has to then drink the Sota waters, and if she's married to a Kohen, she can no longer drink, eat Truma. V'Emes, if she's this type of Sota, and then her husband dies, choletzes velo misyavemes, so she does chalitza, but she doesn't do yibum. So, what's the issue? Rashi on the top points out, yidafam abiz, but apparently, she still does chalitza. But hold on one second. Isn't she someone who is a sota? So don't we say tsara sota asura, that anyone involved in this sota process would be the sota, the co-wife of a sota, they're potter from Yivam and Chalitza. And here, you have a Sota, whose husband died, she falls to her husband's brother, and we're saying she does Chalitza? So what's going on here? I thought, Sota, there's no Yivam or Chalitza for her or the co-wife. So Amalecha Rav responds, Aminucha Ana Sota Vadai, V'yamar Liat Sota Safik. What I was talking about, says Rav, when I said the Sota and the Tzara Sota are Asura, that was talking about a Sota Vadai. Not the Sota that's really Masechah Sota is talking about. Sota Vadai means an adulterer. It means witnesses saw that she had Bia with another man. That's when we say that her and the Tzara are Asur. What was this case talking about? The case of Masechah Sota is a Sota Safik, where we never actually have proof. We didn't see, we don't know, the Eden didn't testify that she had the Bia. But we know he warned her, and we know she went against his warning and had a yichud anyway, and we know the yichud was for a certain amount of time that could have led to the bia, so we have very high likelihood, good probability, that she committed this act. And therefore, there's the distinction, we might not apply the same rules to a sota safik as we would to a sota vadai. The Gemara asks, well, why not compare them? Umayishna sota vadai, mishum dechsiv beituma. We said the reason why Rav says, by a sota vadai, that her and the tzara are usher to do yibum, because it says when it comes to a sota vadai tuma, which is equatable to arayo, so it's the same din as an erva, but sota safik nami, tuma ksiva bay. But when it comes to a safik sota, there's also the word tuma used in the Torah. Where do we find that? The Tanya, we have a braisa, Yosef ben Kippur Omer, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Hamasar Grishaso min nisuin Asura, min erisim muteras. So there's a rule, which is very interesting, which is that when a man divorces his wife, if that wife goes and gets remarried to someone else, and then gets divorced from that man, her first husband may not, there's an isser for him to remarry her. The question is, what if she had not nisuin with another man, but only irisin? So if she had hamachzer grushaso min nisuin asura, if he divorces her, she goes and marries another man and has full-fledged nisuin with him, then if she gets divorced, he may not take her back. But if she only had erusin with the other man, then he can take her back, mishum shenemar, because when the pasuk refers to something called a maaser grushoso, whether or not a man can take back his divorcee after she goes and gets remarried, it says, and then divorced, it says shenemar acharei asher hutama. It says after she was had tuma with another man. That implies tuma implies bia. Bia implies nisuin and not erisin. So the pasuk is very clear that the only iser of maaser grushoso is if she went ahead and had nisuin, had bia with another man, and got divorced from him, then her first husband cannot remarry her. So that's how the Tanakhama, the husband keeper, learns the phrase, acharei asher hutama, that the hutama is referring to a woman marrying someone else and having bia with him, min anisuin. Even if she goes in as irising with another man, and then they call it off, he still can't take her back. So elamani, and why would that be? Rashi points out, because it's any type of marriage. Irising is still a form of marriage, and the pasuk seems to be referring to some type of havaya, some type of marriage. And since even irising is still a type of marriage, so therefore he may not take her back, if she has irisin and then calls off that irisin from that man. So according to the Chachamim, Elmani Mekayim Acharei Hutama, so according to the Chachamim, what does that pasuk of Hutama refer to? L'rabos Sota Shenistera. It comes to include Safek Sota, a Sota that had Kinoi, her husband warned her, told her not to have Yichud, she has the Yichud. That Sota is going to be Aser. So what do you see? That it's a kasha on Rav, because Rav said, "Oh, I was talking about a sota vadai where it says the word tuma, but a sota suffik it doesn't say the word tuma." What do you mean? From this brisa, from the Chachamim, we see very clearly that even when it comes to a suffik sota, the phrase acharei asher hutama is going on a suffik sota. It's kasha on Rav's distinction between sota vadai and sota suffik. So answers the Gemara, no, Rav will respond, my nistera nivola. This price is not actually talking about a suffix sota. Aye, but we said it was only referring to where they had yichud. We don't know for sure they had bia. No, when we said nistera yichud, we meant nivola. We meant bia. Aye, va my karli nistera. If we meant bia, why call it yichud? Says the Gemara, lishna ma'alya naka. It's a clear language. We don't like to speak in such explicit terms about inappropriate acts, and therefore, even though we were referring to bia, the act of relations, we refer to it as nistera, as yichud. Says the Gemara, well, hold on one second. According to the Chachamim, can acharei asher hutama really be referring to a sota vadai, someone that we know had bia? But nivola tumba behed yuksiv bei. V'nistera v'hinitma. But when it comes to a woman who we know had bia, but there we know, says Vinistra, she had Yichud, Vihinitma, and she had Bia. So when it comes to a woman who we know had Bia, there it already uses the word Toma. So why would it also say Achareu Asher Hutama to refer to the same type of woman? That seems very redundant. The Gemara answers, it's not redundant. L'meka Malah Belav. Because from Vinistra Vihinitma, that's an Aseh. That's she became Tomei through the Bia. Whereas Acharei Asher Hutama is more implicit of a lav, and therefore we need the extra tuma by a woman who commits adultery, who has bia, to say that she also violates a lav. And what about this? Is all according to the Chacham in the Braisa, Rav Yosi ben Kiper, who said that Acharei Asher Hutama was referring to sota shenistera. He says lav besota leislei. There is no lav when it comes to a sota. The afil is nainami, not only a sota. When a regular woman commits adultery, there's no lav on that. My taima, why not? Because havaya v'ishus ksivbe. Because this whole parsha of acharei asher hutama is referring to where there's some form of marriage, whether it be erusin or nisuin, and therefore, any type of adultery that involves a bia between a man and a woman that are not any type of marriage, So there's not going to be a lav involved in that. But either way, what you see from here is that there really is a distinction, Rav says, between sota vadai and sota safik. When it comes to sota vadai, Rav says, tsaras sota asura. When it comes to sota safik, then he would say that it's not the same case. Okay, moving on to the next topic. We finished talking about tsaras sota. Now we're going to talk about tsaras machzer grushasa. So says the Gemara, boy, mine Rav Yehuda mei Rav Sheshes, Rav Yehuda asked Rav Sheshes the following question. Hamachzer grushasa mishinis is, so a man divorces his wife, the wife goes and remarries another man, then she gets divorced from that other man, and then he remarries her. He wasn't allowed to do that, but he did it anyway. And then, umes, and then he dies. So tsarasa mahu. Now obviously, this woman to the brother is going to be a problem because she was usser. But what about her co-wife? So Aliba the Yosef and Keeper, Loti Bayalach. According to Yosef and Keeper, it's not a question. Why? Keeper the Yosef and Keeper, Tumma Masa Gushoso, Hudichsiva. Since Yosef and Keeper said, Achare Hershir Tum Hutama was referring to Masa Gushoso. If he says it's referring to Masa Gushoso, then that means it's calling a Masa Gushoso a Tumma, just like a Rayos. And therefore, tsaras kamosa, the tsara becomes a tsaras erva. So according to Yosef ben Kippur, the whole concept of tsaras masa grushaso is the same thing as any tsaras erva. Since according to Yosef ben Kippur, the Gemara equates masa grushaso with an erva. So that's not a question. Of course, the tsara is going to be just like the masa grushaso herself, and they will both be pater from yib mechalitza. V'i mechshim dechsiv ba toeva, you might say, well, when it comes to the Masa Grushaso, it says that she, herself, his ex-wife that he's choosing to remarry Be'isser, she's an abomination, which he, the word he, is limiting. So it means someone's not an abomination. So you might say, oh, maybe the co-wife is not an abomination. Maybe she's not as bad as the Masa Grushaso herself. No. He toeva vein banea toeven. The mi'at there, what it's coming to exclude, is that she might be an abomination for marrying her ex-husband when she was not allowed to, but her children are still kosher children. They're not mamzerim. But hatsarasa toeva. But her co-wife is a toeva just like her, in the sense that they're pater from all yib men chalitza. So according to Yosef ben Kippur, we don't have a shayla. Kiti bayulach aliba de rabbanon. Our kasha is according to the rabbanon, earlier on in that braisa. Because afal gadam rabbanon tuma besota hu dechsev. The Rabbanan said, Acharei Asher Tama is referring to a sota. So you might say, so then what's the Shaila? By Masa Grushaso, it's not equatable to Arayos. Yeah, but in Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto. At the end of the day, that phrase Acharei Asher Tama was in the parsha in the Torah of Masa Grushaso. So we might have a drasha that could also be referring to sota, but the Pasha Pshat of the Pasuk, we can't take it out of its original interpretation, or its very simple, plain meaning, which is that it's referring to Masa Grushaso, and it calls it Tumah, which would equate it to Arayos, and therefore the Tsaras Masa Grushaso would be Usser, any type of Tsaras Erva, Odilma, or maybe Kivan de Iyaker, Iyaker. Once we learn the Acharei Hosheru Tumah to be referring to Sota, maybe that means we're uprooting the simple, plain pshat, and we're saying it only refers to Sota, and it wouldn't refer to Masa Grushaso. And if it wouldn't refer to Masa Grushaso, that means we wouldn't have the word Tuma by Masa Grushaso, and therefore it would not be the same as Arayos, and maybe the Tsaras Masa Grushaso would be Mutter. That's our Shaila. Ikeda Amri, the Gemara is a different way of phrasing the same question. Aliba the Rabbanan Loti Bayalach, Kivan Dis Yaker, Yaker. According to the Rabbanan, it's not a Shaila. Of course, the pasuk is being uprooted from its original interpretation by saying Acharei Asher Tumah is referring to Sota, and therefore Tumah is not written by Masa Grushaso, and it's clear according to the Rabbanon that the Tsaras Sota, Tsaras Masa Grushaso rather, would have a chiyuv to do Yibam. Kiti Bayalach Aliba de Yosef ben Kippur. The Shaila really is according to Yosef ben Kippur. My, what's the din? Afal Gadam Yosef ben Kippur Tumah Masa Grushaso Udechsiva. Even though Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur admits that Acharei Asher Tamah is referring to the case of Mas Grushaso, but maybe Miat Rachmana Hitoeva Vein Saras Toeva. Maybe when the Torah refers to the Mas Grushaso as an abomination, it's coming to say only her, but not her tzara. Her tzara would not be an abomination. Her tzara would be permitted to Yibam. Odilma, or the flip side is, Hitoeva, like we said earlier. What's that excluding? Not a tzara, vein banea toevin. That the product of that relationship, those kids will not be mamzerin. But hatzarasa toeva, but the tzara will still be a toeva, and will still be aser. So whether you go with the first lashon or the ikda amre, either way, we still have our question, which is that what Rav Yehuda asked Rosh Hashesh, which is what's the din of a tzaras masagrushaso, the co-wife of a woman who remarries her ex-husband, be'isser. So Amalei, Rav Sheshes responds to Rav Yehuda, Tanisua, we have a Mishnah later on, Daf Mem Dalet, which can answer this question. So Haisa Achas, Kshirav Achas Psula, so you have Reuven's married to two women, and now Reuven dies, and both fall to Shimon. One of the women that falls to Shimon is kosher, one of them is pasul. We'll say what that means in a second. Im Hayachalutz, if Shimon wants to do Chalitza, Choletz Lipsula, he should do Chalitza on the pasul woman. But if he wants to do Yibum, Miyabim Likshira, he should do Yibum on the kosher woman. So my Kshira, my Psula. What do we mean that these women are, one of them is Pasul, one of them is kosher? Ilema Kshira, Kshira Lialma, Psula, Psula Lialma. If you want to say kosher means kosher to a Kohen, and Pasul means Pasul to a Kohen, meaning let's say she's a divorcee. But why would that matter? Kivan Dilidide Chazya, since for Shimon himself, who's not a Kohen, it doesn't matter if this one of the women is a divorcee, because he could still marry her. So my nafkali mina, who cares that one of them is pusel? If it's not pusel for him, then it's not relevant that she's pusel. For a Kohen, elolav, rather it must be, kshira kshira le, psula psula le. One of the women that falls to him is kosher to marry him, and one of them is not kosher to marry him. Umay nihu, and what would be an example of that? That someone would be pusel to him? The answer is Maser Grushaso. You have to find the case that a woman's pusel to him, but kosher to everyone else. Who would that be? That would be the case where a man and a woman get divorced, she goes and marries another man from Nisuin, then she gets divorced from him, so he's not allowed to marry her. Her initial husband cannot marry her. That's a case where she's pusel to him. Viktani, what we say about that, Vimhamiyabim, Miyabim Lakshira. So now you have a case where a Master Grushaso and her co-wife fall to Shimon. This is Shimon's Master Grushaso. So okay, fine, he can't do Yibum with her. But what are we saying? What does this Brisa say? What does this Mishnah say? That Shimon can do Yibum with the Kshira, with the Tzara. So you see explicitly that Tzara's Master Grushaso is mutter to do Yibum on. That's what it means, Miyabim Lakshira. He could do Yibam with the Tzara of Masir Grushaso. That would seem to answer Rabbi Yehuda's initial question. Gemara answers, Lo, Liolam, Kshira Kshira, Kshira La'alma, Psula Psula La'alma. In this price, in this Mishnah, when we say Kshira and Psula, we really are referring to kosher to a Kohen and Pasul to a Kohen. Ay, Vidka Amart, Kivan Dol Dechazya, My Nafkale Mina. But then we had a question. If when we say kosher and pasul, it's referring to a Kohen. Well, guess what? Shimon's not a Kohen. So who cares if she's pasul to a Kohen? Why would that be relevant? And our answer is, Mishum de Rav Yosef, Dam Rav Yosef, Kanshana Rebbe, Lo Yishbach Adam Meboro, V'achirim Tzricha Lahem. A person shouldn't empty out his pit of water, even if he doesn't need it. But if others need it, he shouldn't do it anyway. So what we're saying is that in this case, let's say Shimon has a choice. He has two women in front of him. One of them is already a divorcee, and one of them is not a divorcee. So he wants to know who he should do chalitza on. So if he does chalitza on the kosher girl, so that's gonna make her into a chalutz, and it will therefore make her pasul to a kohen in the future. Whereas, if he does chalitza on the pasul one, meaning she's already a grusha, she's already a pasul to a kohen, so he's not going to be changing anyone's status. So this concept of that we're saying over here about the water from the pit, we're saying is, don't ruin someone's day for no reason, right? If you have water in your pit, if others need it, don't spill it out. Over here, don't just passel this kosher girl from a Kohen just because, if there's another option to avoid that. And therefore, that's what we mean when we say, if he wants to do Yibam, Yibam on the kosher, if he wants to do Chalitza on the girl who's already passel to a Kohen. Don't make a girl into a Chalutza and make her passel to a Kohen when you don't have to. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay. Tashima, Hamasa Grushaso, Mishenises. If a person remarries his ex-wife after she already got married, and now he dies, he vitzarasa choletzes, him and his her and her co-wife both do chalitza. Says the Gemara, he vitzarasa salkadaydach. That's not how it works. If two women fall to one man, he chooses. He doesn't do chalitza on both. He chooses one or the other. So Allah, says the Gemara, ema ohi o chalitzasa o tzarasa. He's doing chalitza either on her or her tzara. But what do you see from this? No yibum. So isn't this a raya that a man may not do yibum on his tzaras master grushaso? Says the Gemara, v'lav tirutzika matartzala taratachi. But there's a way to reword this braisa to have it mean something else. Hicho letzes, when it comes to her, the master grushaso, it's herself, the only thing to really do is chalitza. However, tzaras, her co-wife, ocho letzes, o misyavemes. Maybe you could even do yibum, and therefore it's not a proof one way or the other whether or not tzaras mazeg rushoso you could do yibum on. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. That price is not a proof. Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Yochanan, boy, we're going to have the same shock of Atari now, just said by different people. So, boy, a mazeg rushoso mishenisei tzaras amahu. What's the status of tzaras, the co-wife of a masig rushaso? Can she do yibum or not? So I'm a layer of Ami, but Yibayel Chigufa. Why are you asking about the co-wife of a masig rushaso? You should ask about the masig rushaso herself. Says the Gemara, well, he gufa lo kamibayle. We're not going to ask about the masig rushaso herself. The Amina kavachomer, because we'll say a kavachomer. But mutter la asura. If, when it comes to her first husband, that's now her ex-husband, if she can't remarry him after she gets remarried to someone else and gets divorced, even though she was initially married to him, mutter to him, and then became usur, but usur la, when it comes to the yavam, who she was always usur to before her, with when it comes to her original husband, lo kol shekin, certainly she should be usur to the yavam, but for yim mechalitza. So ki kami bayalei tarasa, our only shaila is about the co-wife. My, what do we say? Mi olim kavachomer leminchi tzara olo. Is this kavachomer that asers the master grushaso herself, which puts her into the category of tumah, into arayos, is that enough to really make her such a full-fledged arayos that her co-wife is like a tzaras erva? Or does the kavachomer not have that type of strength? Rav Nachum Rav Yitzchak Masni Hachi Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba Bar Rav Yochanan Hamas Grushasu Mishnis is Mahu. He said it in a different way. Same kasha we had. What's the status of a koyf of a Masni Grushasu? Amar Leir Bami V'tibay Lach Tzarasa. Why do you ask about the Masni Grushasu? Why don't you ask about the Tzara, about the koyf? So it's going to be the flip of what we just said. So Tzarasa Lo Kami Bayli. Well, I don't even have a shayla about the koyf. Delo Olam Kavachomer Leminchei Tzara. Because the Kavachomer, which puts Masni Grushaso in the same category as Arayos, is not strong enough to then further the equation of Arayos to the co-wife, to push her off. Rather, we know for sure, with certainty, that the Tzaras Masni Grushaso would, in fact, do Yibum. Ela kimi ba'ile higufa. Our question is about the Masni Grushaso herself. Mi olim Kavachomer v'makom mitzvah olo. Does that Kavachomer, which essentially puts her in a category of Isser, but is that pushed off in the case of Mitzvah, and you have a Mitzvah of Yibum, or is it not? That is our real question. So Amar Leh, we're going to give the same Shakamatai we had earlier, turning over to Yud Bezim and Aleph. Tanisua will quote that Gemara on Daf, Mendalad, which says, Haisa achas chair of achas psula, you have two women fall to Shimon, one is kosher, one is pasul, emaya choletz choletz lepsula. If you want to do chalitza, do it on the pasul girl. If you want to do yibum, do yibum on the kosher girl. So my kshira, my psula. What does it mean? Ile makshir k'sher liyama psul psul yama. If this refers to being kosher or puzzle to a kohen, well, kivul ludechaz yama nafkli mina. Since Shimon's not a kohen, why does he care that these girls, one of them at least, is puzzle for a kohen? Alolav k'sher k'sher le psul psul le. Rather, it must be referring to the fact they're kosher or puzzle to him. So, what's the case of a girl that's puzzle to him but kosher to everyone else? Umayniyu masugushaso, his ex-wife who went and got remarried and then got divorced. Viktani, and we said, if you want to do yibim on the co-wife of this Masigur Shoso. So what do you see? The answer to the initial question, you can do yibim on the tsara, on the co-wife of Masigur Shoso. Says the Gemara, lo, kshir kshir li alma, psulo li alma, really referring to kosher and puzzle to a kohen. We had a kasha. Since Shimon's not a kohen, why does he care if this girl is puzzle to a kohen or not? The answer is Mishum Ryosef, Dam Ryosef, Kanshana Revi, Luishbach Adame Boro, Lechir, Srihulahem. Don't do something if other people need it, even if you don't want it, but don't be wasteful. And actually, Rabbi Yeruchim actually over here says this din is not really a din that's unique to Chalitza. There's always an Isra of Baal Tashchis to waste something, even if you don't use it, if someone else can get proper use out of it. So that's what's going on here. The reason why he should do chalitzas of the puzzle, as we said previously, because we don't want him to make the kosher girl into a chalutz and puzzle her to a kohen. When you can do chalitza on the puzzle, she's already puzzled to a kohen. Tashma, we said this earlier also, hamazik rushaso mishinises hibitzraso choletzes, someone who has a mazik rushaso, where she already married someone else and then got divorced, so her and her tzara do chalitza. Says the Gemara, again, like we said earlier, what do you mean, he and her tzara? The man picks one. You don't do tzchol chalitza on both. Ela'ima ohi o tzarasa. Oh, so what do you see? He's only doing chalitza on the tzara. Apparently, tzaras masgru shaso. You can't do yibaman. Says the Gemara, no, v'la'at tzirutzka matarisla taratachi. We reworded the braisa, which is he choletzes. When it comes to the masgru shaso herself, there's only one option. Chalitza. When it comes to the co-wife, oh choletzes, oh misyad emes, maybe yibim is on the table. It's interesting. We had this whole daf essentially from the middle of Yad Aleph on Beis until the middle of Yad Beis on Aleph to address one shaila, whether or not the tzara of Masigur Shaso is mutter to yibim or not. And it doesn't even seem like we came to a conclusion. We're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It seems to be a little bit unresolved. So we'll stop here. Next time we'll pick up with a new topic.